Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Dave was on a roll for a while speaking about family, like you just mentioned. So I'm on a little roll speaking about wisdom. I've been studying the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. I'm going to share scriptures from there, but also from other parts of the scripture too. But the importance of wisdom, what is wisdom anyway? It's the ability to discern or judge what's true, right, lasting. It's common sense, good judgment, the sum of learning through ages of knowledge. The knowledge. It's knowing what's right. I didn't bring my glasses today, so fortunately I'm struggling to read this stuff. All right, here we go. So if I mess up, you guys correct me. Yeah, I could read it that way, yes. But I'm going to try to do it this way, so I'm at least looking at you guys, so forgive me. All right, Proverbs 2, my son. And this is all the importance of wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from the mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds, right, what's that word? Success? Yeah, success in, yeah, okay, let's do that. My eyes are failing now. Oh, this will teach me not to forget my glasses, right? All right, for he gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk, whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. Well, just that last part, I mean, what Dave was hitting on is like some of the crazy stuff that people are trying to tell you today, you know, like a man could be a woman and a woman could be a man, and children can make a decision to change their sex when they're, I mean, this is that last part of it. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Those are wicked men, and those are spirits that are trying to tear down, right? And that's you have that wisdom. You don't have to struggle with those type of things, knowing what's right and what's wrong. But a couple things here, just the importance of wisdom, right? If you basically in the book of Proverbs, Solomon is speaking to his son and us today, just saying, seek for wisdom as if you're seeking it, you're seeking for money, for silver, right? That's what it says. Like that type of thing, like people desire to have wealth, right? So they work hard to do that. You should go after wisdom in that manner. Like it should be something that's super important for you, like hidden treasure. And then you'll understand the fear of the Lord, and then you'll find knowledge of God. When you seek about it, other parts of the scripture says, when you seek with all your heart, you will find the Lord. He's a shield to those who walk blameless. Now, how do we walk blameless? We walk blameless when we're covered in the blood of Jesus. That's how we walk blameless, right? Because we all make mistakes. Now, Dave was even sharing some of his, struggles with not complaining, right? I think we all could probably say that in the course of a day if you really took inventory. But you know, it's a process. You know, you're always trying to get better. He's a shield to us. He protects us, right? He protects the ways of his faithful ones. So when you seek for wisdom and knowledge, you get all these benefits that God will give you. So how do you get wisdom, right? I've used this. This is the third time I'm using this slide, but I think it's important. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And, you know, years ago, I used to think the fear of the Lord was being afraid of God, right? But it's not. It's what that amplified part of it is on the bottom. It's the reverent fear of the Lord. That is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome. Do you regard God as truly awesome? I mean, during prayer today, I mean, in worship, we were regarding God as truly awesome. And all those, that one hymn we were singing, all the things that he's done, you know, delivering people from drugs and restoring relationships and family. I mean, that's the awesomeness of God, right? And recognizing that is part of fear or reverence of God, right? That's what it's all about. Wisdom is the starting point, and it's the essence of really knowing God and loving God. And the knowledge of the Holy One understands spiritual insight. So this is really what wisdom is all about, and you desire the fear of God, and really it's the reverence of God and reverence of God. And the reason you're here is really for that. And if you want to get more wisdom, in James it says, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask and God will give it. Not just give you a little, he'll give you it in multitude. So that's the importance of wisdom. I'm just going to go to, let me go back. Okay. Let's see. I had one other verse. Sorry. All right. How do you go back? I'm going the wrong way. Swipe this way. That right? Yeah. Hey, look, I'm going back. Okay. Yep. Yeah, am I going the right way? No, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going this way. That way? Okay, I was going the wrong way. All right, thanks, Dave. I'm getting swiping 101.
So this is where you...
Yeah, okay, now, that's, all right, good. Thank you. Now I think I should be able to pick it up. Okay, we covered that. Okay, yeah, this is what I wanted. This is a bonus thing. This is a this is not my main message, but I like putting something like this in here. Yes, houses and wealth come from your parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. I like the amplified thing. It says houses and wealth are inheritance from fathers, but a wise, understanding, and sensible wife is a gift and blessing from the Lord. So there's a couple of wise and sensible wives here, and they are blessings from the Lord, right? So Hannah was asking for a testimony. I'm saving it for here, because Ronnie's like, why don't you go up there and say a testimony? Because I'm going to be speaking later. I'm going My sensible wife was trying to encourage me, which is really good. But I'll tell you my testimony, right? When I was younger, you know, I wanted to get married, but I thought I pretty much gave up. I said, I'm not going to get married. I'm never going to find anybody. And, you know, I always wanted to go to Hawaii. I figured I'd go to Hawaii on my honeymoon if I ever get married. And I figured I'm not getting married. So I went with one of my friends to Hawaii, by just the two of us, right? And then, like, after that, I dedicated my life completely to God and, all in. Like, I used to go to, not that you have to do this to dedicate your life to God, but I was going to church, like, almost every night of the week, taking my grandfather, my 90-something-year-old grandfather, with me everywhere, including the young people's meetings, and he would be the only person sitting at the table with all these, like, 20-year-old kids, right? And he lived to be 103 and was like a real, like a foundational, he was the first person that got saved in our family. And that's why, like, I mean, we're on our, how many generations since him? Like five generations that have been following God because of him. Because he's the first one. But my testimony is that, like, you know, after I went all in on God, then I found my wife. And then I didn't ever thought I was going to have kids. Now I got three of them, right? Yeah, and a granddaughter too. I mean, it's amazing. That's my testimony. But when you go all in on God, He goes all in on you, and good things happen, and it's an awesome thing. But I just wanted to kind of like little bonus thing over there, the sensible wife. Now, a part of wisdom, right? I think what I wanted to share with you are three habits, spiritual habits that I think wisdom, it's very wise to have good habits, right? I was reading that like great leaders have great habits. I would say strong Christians have great habits, right? Things that you practice and you do all the time. So that's what I really wanted to share with you guys today. The first habit is encouraging yourself. Interesting, right? Encouraging yourself. So think about that. In Proverbs, it says, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a glad heart has a continual feast. That's encouraging yourself when you have a glad heart, right? It ties into what Dave was saying, right? This week, a similar thing, right? Like knowing that God's got things under control and just your attitude and the way you think about things, right? So Ronnie was telling me the car, the low pressure gauge is on the car, right? And we were getting ready to go on a long drive and I was at work. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do? And just it worked out that, you know, I kind of didn't like get all hot and bothered and I was able to bring the car and still take some work calls and when I was in the car on the way going to the dealership, got it fixed because I paid for tire insurance. I forgot about that and I'm like, oh wow, I paid for tire insurance. I got it fixed and we able to have it. But I could have like reacted badly more. I probably would have years ago, but I was like kind of like taking it with a glad heart, right? And God will work these things out. Better is a little with reverent worshipful fear of the Lord. Again, it's connected to that. Then great treasure and trouble with it. So, you know, a lot of wealthy people, you know, you think that's they have a lot of problems in their lives, right? It isn't all about wealth is going to bring you happiness. Better is a dinner of vegetables and herbs where love is present than a fattened ox served with hatred. Yeah. So, you know, you could have a little with the right mindset. You know, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, and you could have a grateful spirit inside of you. So a lot of it has to do with the way you think. Remember the days, maybe you young people didn't, but the days before you had cell phones, you'd be driving down the road and you see somebody like talking. You're like, oh, that guy's crazy. He's talking to himself, you know, in a car. You know, you're like driving down the road. This is before people had cell phones. Now, you know, when you see people talking, even when they're walking down the road, they got earbuds in or whatever, and you're like, you don't know. But, you know, do you think you're crazy? Do you talk to yourself? Yeah, everybody does, right? I do. Sometimes I'm like, ow, you know, what are you doing? You know, ow, like, you know, you got to get this thing done. You know, you got to like pick it up here, you know? I'll say stuff like that to myself. So, you know, it's a very common thing. Your thoughts are the source of your emotions and mood. So how you think, you know, it affects how you respond to things, right? And how you treat other people and how you react to circumstances. The conversations you have with yourself can be destructive or beneficial. Is that not true? They influence how you feel about yourself and how you respond to events in your life. That came from something called Healthline. I read it online. And I'm like, this is so super true, and I've heard about this so many times. Self-talk is so important. And self-talk on positive is like, you can do it, and I'll show you some scriptures about that. But the bad self-talk is like, I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. I can't do this. You know, whenever it's I can't before something, that's negative self-talk, right? If something's before you to do, you can do it, and we'll see that. So how you think, you know, is super important. How you think about yourself is super important. So you're not crazy when you talk to yourself. It's actually a good thing. So encouraging yourself, the first habit I wanted to talk about. Romans 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and all you got to do is just say, Jesus, I believe who you are, and come into my heart. You know, as it says in Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe it in your heart, and you shall be saved. That's what it says. It's that simple. So if you've done that, then there is no condemnation when you're walking in Christ, right? You have there's nothing that you've done in the past that could still drag you down or that can bring you down in negative emotions. Knowing who you are is super important in Christ. You have to know who you are. What does it say in the scripture? There's so many things that positive that says who you are, right? Who are you? You know, you're a son or a daughter in the King, right? When you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are a new person. It says that you're a new creation in Christ. And that's knowing who you are. You're not what your past did. You're not, we heard a whole bunch of overcoming stuff today already this morning, and you're not what happened to you. So many people have, like, bad things have happened to them, and they've allowed it to destroy their life, and they've let that become who they are, and they've let that define them, right? Like, let's say that car smashed, and it got destroyed. Paula could have been beating herself up and saying, I'm no good. How could I do this? That was the dumbest thing in the world. I mean, everybody's made mistakes like that, right? Like, maybe not that one, but something else that would have been something. I forgot to do this, and it created an issue, right? Or let's say you got into really bad financial straits, right? And you're like, I'm no good with money. I'll never be any good with money. I'm never going to make it. I'm always going to be struggling the rest of my life. Those are all negative things. That's not who God says you are. In the scripture, it says you're the head, not the tail, right? And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's so many things in scripture. You could just go through it. There's like all these promises that are given to us. So know who you are in Christ is a part of helping you to think the right way. This is an interesting thing I read. Like, will God love you more if you, like, obeyed him better? Like, say 5 years from now, you, like, really got, you know, closer to God and everything. Do you think he'll love you more than he does today? No. Because God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love transcends, like, what we do. So you cannot earn that, because this is the ways of the world, and this is the ways of every other religion on planet Earth, is you got to work your way to whatever it is, you know, your salvation, you know. You got to earn it. You can't earn salvation, because it says that in the scripture, no one is righteous, no, not one. But the way we get righteous is through the blood of the Lamb, where we're washed in the blood. By the way, we're going to have Holy Communion at the end, so those of you online, get some bread and some grape juice, and we'll do that. I forgot to say that earlier, but that's part of it too, right? So know who you are, and know that you can't earn God's love. And there's another concept here. You work with God, not for God. Like, you can't earn his love, because his love is given already. It's a gift, right? Just like you can't earn a gift. Like, if somebody wants to give you a gift, they give you a gift. But God's always given you a gift. Okay, so Proverbs 6. Let's read it up here. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. What does this mean? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So a person's a miser, right? But he invited you in for a dinner, but he really doesn't want to give you a dinner because he doesn't want to, like, share his stuff. So in the end, that's what he thinks he is, and that's what he is. How does this apply to us, right? What do you think about you? How do you think about yourself? You know, what do you think about yourself, right? If you're in Christ, one of the I think issues that a barrier for success as a believer is thinking about yourself in a wrong way. So thinking about yourself as, you know, I made a mistake and then therefore I'm no good, you know, is negative. Or thinking that you got to be perfect to walk, you know, on this earth is also, it holds you back, and it's not the way that God wants you to think about you. Yes, we always should be trying to become more Christ-like, but, you know, we're We're people, right? We make mistakes, but we're on the journey, right? And we're constantly going there. But what do you think about you is so important? Do you think that you're an overcomer, as it says in the scriptures? Or do you think that this is it, and this is as far as I'm going in life, you know, and I'm never going to be able to whatever, fill in the blanks, right? What do you think about yourself? You know, it's super, super important. Believe what God says about you in his word. And I just shared some of those things about who you are in Christ, right? Do you really believe that? You should. So that was the how you think about yourself type of habit, right? Like looking at yourself the right way, thinking about yourself with the right mindset. And now I'm going to talk to you about the happy habit. Seems like a strange thing. Should we be happy people? Happiness is a choice. You believe that? Choose happiness. Happiness does not depend upon your circumstances. So Psalm 118 says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Today, God created this day, right? Are you glad in it? Are you happy about it? This should be your attitude. So I read this. I can't like speak without using at least one Steve Backlund thing. This is one of his things, because I really love that, all the stuff, these anecdotes that are really great to get your mind wrapped around the right way. You know, in the morning when you wake up, you say, "This is going to be a great day. God is going to do good things for me and through me." Think about that. Say that with me right now. "This is going to be a great day. God is going to do good things for me and through me." You know, every morning when you wake up, that should be the way you're thinking about, like, oh, you know, I got off on the wrong side of the bed. No, you always get off on the right side of the bed when you're walking with God. So fellowship with and obeying God brings the greatest happiness and joy. Like that other proverb I said, even if you don't have a lot, right, and somebody else does, with the right mindset and walking with God, it's a joyful day. It's a beautiful day, right? So Proverbs 3:5 through 7, this is really the basis for this. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." Do you want a long life? Do you want peace and prosperity? Then keep my commands in your heart. It's Solomon talking to his son, but it's God talking to us too. "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Because this is the nature of God, love and faithfulness. "Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." This is all about the happiness habit. God wants you to enjoy your life. John 10 says, "Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or abundantly. 2 points here. Point number one, if you ever hear from somebody else that there are many ways to God, here, this is one of the scriptures, there's other scriptures too, that dispels that, where Jesus says, "I am the gate." In other words, he's saying, "I am the way." As he says in other parts of scripture, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," right? That's John 14:6, I believe. 14:6. Thank you. All right, that's a good one. It's good that you know that by heart. Thanks for keeping me straight there, Thelma. I'm glad I got it right. But does God want you to enjoy life? You know, a lot of times, you know, people think, oh, if I'm sad and I'm all beating myself up, then I'm, you know, that's what God wants. No, God wants you to live an abundant, joy-filled life. And it ain't just when you get to heaven, right? It's like now. Like, it's an awesome way to live, you know, the joy-filled life day in and day out. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Whatever it is that comes into your life in a negative way, or sometimes we forget that it's coming from the thief, you know, Satan, right, that's trying to drag us down. His objective is to destroy. I've heard people say, oh, God gave me this sickness so that he could teach me a lesson. Well, that's contrary to this scripture, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. He doesn't give you sickness. What he does is he has come to give you life. So if you ever want to know if this is from God or not, the direction you're hearing, if it lines up with this, you'll know. So if it's something that's stealing, destroying, or killing that people are saying, and even some churches that are aligning with, let's say, abortion's okay, right? Is abortion stealing, killing, or destroying?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, and then what about a child changing its sex or taking puberty blockers? Is that stealing, killing, or destroying?
Yes.
Guess what? It's not coming from God. That's not coming from God. I have come that they may have life. You choose life. Is that from God? Yes, it is, right? That they might have life, but not just life, not just living, but a full life. Do you want a full life? Then follow God. I mean, it's awesome. Abundant life in other parts, in different interpretations, it says. What you focus on determines your feelings. You know, like when something bad goes wrong, if you're just focusing on the badness thing that happened to you, or if you're going through a trial, or I got to do this or that, or I got this big exam and oh, woe is me. I got to do this, or I got to take this test or whatever. Woe is me. It's focusing on the wrong thing. It's knowing who you are and knowing that God's going to take you through. You know, a lot of times we say we put happiness on a side over here until we accomplish something or something came our way that I need a new car. When I get this new car, I'm going to be happy, right? Or when I get married, I'll be happy, right? We have our first child, right? Or when I buy a house, right? Or, you know, I get a new apartment or something like that, then I'll be happy. No, happiness starts today, right now. A negative person cannot be happy, and a persistently positive person can't but help to be happy. So, you know, choosing positivity, it's your choice. And I'll tell you another thing. When me and Ronnie have been coaching a young couple who's going to be getting married, and one of the things in this, like, premarital training, I guess you could call it, is that your spouse, your husband or wife, you're getting ready to go, and it's not dependent on them for your happiness. You have control over your own happiness. It's not their job to make you happy. It's your job to make you happy, right? All the other stuff is like gravy and icing on the cake, you know, that you get the joy of you know, fellowship with your spouse. So it's up to you to choose whether you want to be happy. That's one of the habits here. Hopeful people are some of the happiest people on the planet. All right, this one I got to turn around. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So, if you're going through a trial, they're calling it sufferings here, it produces perseverance. So I could say I'm going through this trial and then woe is me. Or I could look at it, I'm going through this trial and this is helping me build a muscle, a perseverance, right? And it's also building my character, too. I mean, how many things, like some of the testimonies we heard today, how many of those things, like when you were going through it, you were like, did you think you were going to get through it, right? Did you think you were going to overcome it? But you did overcome it, right? And you have a stronger character as a result of that. That's that mindset, then keeping that happiness or joy-filled type of mindset. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Did you have God's love pour out into your hearts? I mean, when we were worshiping today, did you feel the love of God? I mean, it was like amazing stuff, right? It's like, man, every day, that should be an everyday thing, right? We get the benefit of doing it here today. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's that hope of God. Now, the third habit I want to talk to you about, and all these are connected, really, if you think about it, right? You know, being happy and having faith are connected. The faith habit. We are called to live by faith as people of God. Living by faith takes the pressure off of us and allows us to enjoy all of life in a greater way. That's something that Joyce Myers has. I've been listening to a lot of Joyce Myers' podcasts. I love to listen to her. It's so practical, right? Yeah, she's real good. So if you want to know a good podcast, listen to her stuff. It's good stuff. It really builds up your in a practical way to the things that you should be doing. So Romans 1 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So we are to live by faith. So I'm going to give you some examples of what that looks like. So this faith habit, faith fills us with hopeful expectation. It's like expecting good to happen, not, you know, Murphy's Law, right? You know Murphy's Law, right? If anything's going to go, it's a worldly thing. If anything's going to go wrong, it will go wrong. No, everything is going to go the best it possibly can because I have faith. And if it doesn't, I'm still going to be positive and God's going to take me through it. You know, I was talking to somebody recently about this book called, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's all small stuff. You know, the things that you come against in life are small stuff for the most part. I mean, there's some major things that happen in life, but that's very, very few. Most stuff is all small stuff that irritates us or agitates us. It, don't sweat the small stuff, right? And it's a pretty good concept. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" You know, a rich person is hard for a rich person to get saved. Why? Because they are caught up in their wealth, mostly, if they let the possessions rule them as opposed to you ruling the possessions. And I remember hearing this one pastor years ago. I was listening to another like message from him, and this one guy got a new car, and they were like busting him and saying, it's hard for a wealthy man, you know, to get into the kingdom of heaven. He goes, "Well, it's not the possessions, is if the possessions own you as opposed to you own the possession," right? Like, it's like, that's not the reason I'm focusing on that. That's not, if that car goes away, you know, I'm still going to be, you know, a joy-filled person following God. It's just like icing on the cake. Again, it's gravy. But what did Jesus say? "Who then could be saved?" The disciples said. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible." So you might be going through something right now today. You know, we all go through stuff. And this is a concept, right? Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing, but with God, all things are possible. So this is a way for another good thing for you to wrap around your mind. It's to say, with God, all things are possible. I can get through it. I can, you know, I can get through college, right? If you're enrolled in college, or I can get through this trial I'm going through if you're having a hard time, or if you're, let's say, struggling with a relationship or something like that. I can get through this with God. All things are possible. The thing that Sue mentioned, like, you know, prodigals coming back, and, you know, with God, all things are possible, right? That's part of the faith habit, right? So Romans 12:3 says God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we all have a measure of faith, right? And hopefully your faith tomorrow will be a lot greater than it is today, right? Because you're here today, right? Your spirit is getting fed, right? You're encouraging yourself, right? You're encouraging yourself by being here. So that's actually one of the habits you guys are already putting together. Good job, everybody. you're on your way. But he's given us all a measure of faith. Put your faith in people is the wrong thing to do. When you put your faith in people, let's say, like, all right, I don't like the governor we got in the state of New Jersey, but when somebody else gets in there, it's my guy, it's going to be great, right? Not necessarily. Maybe yes, maybe no, right? Not everything is going to be great. There's still going to be some things that you probably disagree with, but, you know, if you put your faith in people, you know, no matter who's in control, you know, what if you're living in China today? What if we're all Chinese and we're in a Chinese church right now? They do have church. I've been to China. and, you know, you're in a communist country and you can't do what you want to do. You know, the government isn't the greatest government around, right? I think we all can agree communism isn't the best form of government out there, right? Can you still be joyful? Can you still have faith? And are you trusting in God? And what if it was miraculously turned over into a democracy, right? You still don't put your faith in government. You put your faith in God. Yeah, that would be better, but that's not the way we should be thinking about things, right? That's putting faith in the wrong thing. How faithful are we? How faithful are you? Full of faith? Are you full of faith? So I read this thing. It was pretty interesting. So this is a really great thing. Think about this, right? So did you ever see, like, I don't even know how these tightrope walkers, right? They put a tight rope across the Niagara Falls. And a guy, you know, usually they have, like, a big pole to give them balance, and they walk across it. I mean, first, I have nothing, you know, you're a goner, man, if you fall off of that, right? So the guy, like, I read this just recently. The guy was like, who believes I can make it across there? You know, to all the people that watch and like, yeah, well, I do. He goes, all right, I've got a wheelbarrow. And who's willing to go into the wheelbarrow and go across the tightrope with me? Crickets. That, you know, do you have the faith? You know, yeah, I believe the guy could do it, right? But then if you're in the wheelbarrow, I'm not going to do that, right? Another thing I heard, a guy was like hanging from a tree really high up, and he's like, God, are you up there? Save me, save me. And he heard God say, yeah, I'm there. He goes, just let go of the tree branch, and you'll be okay. And the guy pauses a little bit, and he goes, is anybody else up there? You know, it's like, think about it, though. I mean, I'm joking about this, but really think about, like, I'll give you another example. This is a more relevant one. Like, and I hear this from Christians all the time. Things are going to get worse. Days are going to get darker. Because they look in the book of Revelation, and it does say, like, what it's going to happen. But you don't know we see through a window dimly. We don't know when. So many times people have predicted the end of the earth or the end of the age or we're in the last times and everything. You don't know, right? You got to live like you're going to be living for till the end of your life. You got to live like you're going to live to 100, right? You don't know. So we're praying for, all those prayer requests, like exposure of corruption in high place. We're praying for better government in this country. But do we really believe it? If we're on one side of our mouth saying things are going to get worse, and the other side of our mouth we're praying for better government or better things in our region over here, you know, are we really praying in faith? Are we really believing what we're praying for? Think about that, right? You can't, like, have it both ways. You gotta like say, believe your prayers, get in that wheelbarrow. That's a faith habit. That's what a faith habit is. Okay. And then Jesus said, I will do whatever you ask in my name. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You heard that scripture verse before, haven't you? Think about that. Now, it's all things that are, of course, that are in, God gives us the desire of our hearts, right? And, you know, of course, we're not talking about crazy stuff, but most of us aren't going to be praying for crazy stuff, right? We're going to be praying for things that, like, for our family members or for, you know, our country to get better or our region to get better and Jersey City to be a place where people love each other and education is great and everybody goes on. Those are the type of things. And, you know, ask it in Jesus' name and he will give it to us. Okay, so in conclusion, you like that? Faith habit leaves no room for the worry habit. When you're full of faith, you can't be full of worry. Then you're not in the wheelbarrow, okay? If you're worrying about if this goes wrong or that's going wrong and you're like all tied up in knots and you've got anxiety, you can't sleep at night, guess what? You're not in a wheelbarrow. You're not willing to get in a wheelbarrow across the tightrope, or you're not willing to let go and let God catch you out of the tree, right? It's a good way to think about it, right? I'm thinking about that too. Even like when I was getting ready to put this message together, while I was putting this message together, I'm like, hey, what about me? Definitely not in the wheelbarrow. I need to get in the wheelbarrow and believe that, you know, and really believe that. So, trust God for every situation. So say this with me as we'll declare these three bullets right here. I trust you, God. I believe you are working in my circumstances right now. I will thrive no matter what. That's faith. Do you believe that? Get in the wheelbarrow.